Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2020 comedy Family Swap, starring Frank Dubois and Alexandra Lamy, where a husband, wife, their two children, and their grandmother all swap bodies after a magical trip to an amusement park. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off.
Face Off. I don't know how we did that.
How could you forget?
So, on to Family Swap. We have seen movies where people swap bodies with their family members before, but never one this ambitious with the sheer amount of body swapping taking place.
So many swaps.
So, did the ambition pay off, or was Family Swap a convoluted mess?
The swaps pay off. The swaps, there's nothing wrong with the swaps. There's plenty of them. They're good. They're great. Does it make all the problems with the film go away? No, but the swaps, they're great. I approve.
I have realized something watching this film is that I've become kind of like a crack addict for swapping.
Really?
Like one swap isn't sufficient enough. Like, give me fucking like 10 swaps, and like then they swap with the llama, and then you know, like just keep fucking swapping. Like, like,
I feel like I like the opposite way, that this is like a cold and I'm getting a vaccination and I've become immune, because when I'm watching these I'm like not even aware.
I understand that now? Brendan. Yeah.
see, I feel like because we've watched so many of these films, like unless they're like doing something extreme, it's just like just feels like every day.
Whereas like, I feel like I've gotten the vaccination, and even watching this, I'm like, yeah, so what? You switched like 20 times. I don't give a shit.
I think at this point, if we actually swapped bodies in real life, we'd be like, eh. Lucy, what did you think?
I mean, I had fun with this movie. It was a good time.
Yeah, I think overall, I came up pretty positive on this one. Like, I had like genuine laughs, and it did what we always want these swaps to do, which is payoffs and people learning life lessons and growing throughout the course of the film.
And I thought it was kind of cool how like it didn't actually resolve, and we're the only ones that know why they're swapping.
Yeah,
that was like a fun little twist.
Well, that reminded me of what was the other one we did? The Philippines one.
Here Comes a Bride.
Yeah, because like the fact that you know you have this like little like after movie about the swap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, where they like you saw those years they spent together. It was very reminiscent of that watching this one, you know?
Yeah, it was a brave choice for this film. Like, it's very rare for one of the movies we do to never have a swap back. Like, they are stuck in this situation for the rest of their lives, presumably, unless they ever work it out.
Do you reckon any of them ever get switched into their own body just for, like, one night? Like, surely that's a possibility.
Yeah, so I guess we should explain, like, so in this film, the family, they are continuously swapping with each other. So there's six members of the family, and then by the end also a llama gets lumped into this. And then, like, we find out as a big twist at the end, so spoilers for Family Swap, is
you're not gonna put one at the front of the episode, no. Like, Get Out.
No. Yeah, the little girl shoplifted a
snow globe
at the beginning of the film, and every time she shakes the snow globe, we find out at the end that's when the family swaps. And they'll randomly swap with each other. it is a cruel fate. Like, there is no way these people could have a functioning life.
No.
Ever. Like, where you're constantly swapping with your family members. Like, and, you know, eventually that grandma is, the body of the grandma is going to die.
And then, whoever's inhabiting it. Yeah, what happens to them?
Yeah, if it's the little girl, she could presumably die very young because she was stuck in
I haven't thought about that. That's
maybe
not nice.
Maybe,
or
like,
how long do llamas live?
Well, maybe
what a great question.
If you're in the dead grandmother's body, you're just, like, buried in a coffin for a day.
Oh my god, that's fucking horrifying.
And then she's like dead in your body, you know what I mean?
Oh my god, so that's so dark.
I want to see this sequel.
It's like that Ryan Reynolds movie that I refuse to watch because I'm scared of being buried alive.
Buried? Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will never watch that movie about the kids in the cave. I'm not doing it. No.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But 13's
not
that, I mean, Buried's not that bad. Like, the thing that's annoying about it is you don't see anyone get buried. He's
and
already
it's got
buried.
Ryan Reynolds in it. Yeah.
But yeah, I think this film, like, definitely gives us what we crave in a body swap film. You've got, like, actors playing roles that are, like, very far away from their real selves.
Yeah.
We've got, like, I think one of the best child swap performances we've ever seen.
Oh my god,
the little
that
girl.
Kid was like majority of the time playing an adult, like smoking and swearing and like
talking about having
really
not
mature
been banged for 2 years or something.
She was crazy good actress. Do you need to do the 30-second plot, Paul, or?
Yeah, we could do that. So for listeners that aren't familiar, I try to summarize the plot of the film in 30 seconds, and I very rarely succeed.
I feel like we've done a lot of legwork for you here, but as we've talked about so much already, but, you know, you have to do it. You're contractually obliged.
Yeah.
Ready, set, go.
So a family goes to an amusement park and they're all arguing, and then the next morning they wake up and they're all in each other's bodies, and then the next morning after that they've swapped again, so they're all in other different bodies, and then they have to, like, live in each other's lives, and they find out the mum was cheating on the dad, and the son's drug dealing and all these things, and then the grandma also gets swapped, and then a llama gets swapped, and then they solve their problems, but they get stuck. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of plot in this film, really. It's just, like, dealing
It's about
with,
the performances, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's about the performances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, like, pretty much every swap cliche in here. We've got, like, in the dad storyline, we've got a big sports game he has to win at, but also that's tied into the big meeting for work. They managed to, like, mix them together.
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
Does a rugby game, I completely missed that. How did the rugby game, how is that going to save the newspaper?
I know, right?
Yeah. I was very confused about that subplot. But we've also got, the girl waking up in the boy's body. No, sorry. The boy waking up in the girl's body and not finding his penis and, like,
looking in the mirror and that whole like grabbing his boob sequence. We've got a girl in her father's body that has to go to a communal shower with a bunch of naked guys, you know, which we saw in Virtual Sexuality.
This one was a bit different.
There was only one hot guy in this one, but we got some new stuff. We've got a brother who goes into his sister's body and then prostitutes that body out to his friends, which I thought was an interesting, very French subplot.
Pretty lax. Standards there.
Yeah, I don't know if the American version of this film would have had him.
I don't think it would have been made. I think the things that child had to talk about and just some of the themes and just there was some nutaprope stuff, really.
How relaxed the entire family was with each other's genitalia.
Yeah. The little girl was so excited to be in her father's body and like, because he had a dick.
And then show her when she's in the son's her brother's body, showing her wiener to the her friends from school and stuff.
Yeah.
I was
very glad that scene cut off when it did. You're stretching it. You're stretching it.
Yeah.
You're stretching it.
I think the best performance was the dad and the daughter.
Yeah.
In those initial like moments and days, they were very funny.
Yeah, the dad did do a good job with the daughter in his body playing like essentially a grown man playing a 6-year-old girl. He did that very well.
Yeah.
Mm.
I would say like overall, like all the performances were like super strong in this film. Like across the board, everyone did a really good job. Like when you got this many swaps going, for it always to be clear who is who. And I mean, the film did a couple of things to help us with that at one point.
I'm here for it. I thought it was a funny gag.
Yeah, at one point they're all wearing T-shirts and the T-shirts have the face of the person that's actually in the body, which is so clever. Dovetailed into a great gag when he is in his wife's body and he's about to have sex with the man that she's been cheating with him with, and he takes
that a bit of a French storyline? Like I was like, I don't know about this.
But yeah, the man takes her jumper off and underneath is like a T-shirt with the husband's face just staring at, which is great. But yeah, it is like, again, I don't know if the American version would have had it that the husband then starts sleeping with the man that his wife was cheating on. It was very liberal, I'll say that. Like,
have either which of I you, found really I doubt, s- I doubt either of you would have seen like the true crime documentary Kidnapped in Plain Sight.
No.
So it's about a guy who kidnaps the daughter of his neighbor. And then it comes out, they don't go to the police straight away because both parents were having an affair like separately with the neighbor, like the guy, like the dad as well. Full on. It reminded me of that. I think that's what I was going to say, but like not really, but kind of.
So that's not going to be a tenuous swap in this episode.
Like I found it really ridiculous, but they actually at the end tied that really well with the lesson for the husband that he was so depressed and like self-loathing that he was willing to run away with the man that she was having an affair with because he was a better man than him.
Yeah, he was essentially breaking up with himself. I think like all the characters kind of grew in interesting ways and there was interesting payoffs for most of them. I mean, like, I guess the brother stayed a stoner.
Yeah.
he stayed a stoner drug dealer. I guess the grandmother learned to appreciate her sexuality again. I don't know, loosened up a bit.
And it was funny just seeing that grandma actress sing heaps of bongs.
Yeah. So, Brendan, you mentioned that you had like issues with the film, though. Like, what did you not like about it?
I guess for the until that moment, the character of the husband was just an awful person, and like there was nothing redeemable or likable. Mm-hmm. And then when he starts, like then there's the affair comes out. I felt like the film was really like putting it on the wife, like that, like what the problem with the marriage was her fault for having an affair, but it was very clear that he was like just an absent father. That that, and there was sort of like, you know, this vibe that she was the person who was at fault, and it's like anyway.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think the film does reckon with that. Like, we find out that, you know, at the beginning of the film, he was on a ride and there was like a portion where you make a wish, and he made a wish that he would have a different family. And when that comes out, they're like, what kind of dad would do that? And he's like, a bad one. So,
But yeah. Also, like you were saying, everyone's got sort of a story arc. I feel like there's definitely some that are a lot stronger than others, but all of them are found out in real time. So it takes, like, we get swapped basically 5 minutes into the film.
Yeah, which I appreciated very much so.
But we didn't know where anything was going, or like we didn't have anywhere we wanted it to lead to or resolve, because it was just sort of a lot of meandering little quirky scenes of them trying to fulfill each other's duties as, you know, father, son, daughter, all that sort of stuff. But it sort of felt aimless until those sort of story notes were like locked in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think my biggest issue with the film was towards the end, the mother decides to go to the hospital and reveal the fact that she's been swapped into her daughter, and then they start doing medical tests, and then the evil scientists decide to like kidnap the whole family. I felt like that was too, like, it is a silly movie, but that felt like it was a completely other silly movie, and then that kind of took it over.
Paul, don't tell me you trust Big Pharma. Come on. Anyone knows, if you have thyroid, don't go to the hospital. They'll kidnap you. They'll, you know,
put electrodes on your brain.
Yeah. You know, I'm staunchly anti-vax, so you know this.
Oh, good.
I am. I'm very pro-vax.
Yeah, I literally got my monkeypox vax in it last week, so. I get vaxxed people. The kind of end to that kind of evil scientist story is that the scientists get like the police to come raid at the like the amusement park they're broken into at the end, and then they give a big speech about what family is, and then the police just decide to leave, even though this family has like ram raided an amusement park
with a stolen ambulance.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, that speech was great, and they all just leave. So I think there could have been maybe some better writing there, but other than that, I really enjoyed the film.
I also find, and I equate this to how anyone with a British accent is like automatically posh, even if they're not really. But the French narration just made it have all this gravitas. Like it was like this really important, serious film, even maybe though it wasn't.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like it does add an air of class.
Yeah.
The French. But if you watch a lot of French movies, like, yes, they do make a lot of arty, high-minded films, but they have a giant industry of like films that are way trashier than what Hollywood makes, like especially all the rom-coms that they like shit out every year that are all exactly the same, about a 60-year-old man falling in love with a 25-year-old woman in a vineyard somewhere.
Real like, original. All the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah,
like
and
Gerard this- Depardieu could get that girl.
Yeah, exactly. And this is very, like, this feels very mainstream. Like, it is a it feels like a Hollywood studio
yeah,
film.
Yeah. And it was it? Like, the production value felt quite high.
There yeah, I think it was.
There were
yeah.
some big songs in it. And
yeah, and I think the main, like, the mum and the dad are actually quite big actors in France. So I think this was a big, like, studio release.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see this being remade in Hollywood. Like, I think there would, there's elements that they'd have
some
to change.
Some jokes and some tones would be a little different.
I don't think you would have seen a full frontal nudity shot of the grandma in the Hollywood version.
No. Good for her, though.
Yeah.
Go, Granny.
Yeah, that was something we missed, that the son, whenever he was in a one of the bodies of the of the
of his female relatives.
Relatives.
He just pimped them out for money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would.
For drugs.
The same boy, he would text them and be like, I'll stand in this window like with my top off if you send me like 10 euro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But then when he does it as the grandma, the friend is so distraught, he gets his parents to come and complain.
Well, he was ripped off, wasn't he?
But imagine having that conversation with your parents.
With your parents, yeah.
And I paid them to show me boobs, and then it was an old lady's boobs.
Yeah. God, France must be very different.
If Emily in Paris has taught us anything, that's what it is.
You know what? Another part of this film, I there was a few things that were unbelievable. First, right off the bat,
how they all swapped into each other's bodies.
I totally forgot that was an element of this film.
Like you said, you've been vaccinated against it. Like you just don't even feel it anymore.
But Paul, you're a theme park No, not entrepreneur.
Paul's guys, starting Paul's a theme park. Theme park, yeah.
It's swap land.
Freaky Friday log ride.
No, it would be a birth log ride where you're in a big bath.
And there's the bath reference. The birth reference, I mean, yeah.
But you're someone who goes to theme parks, enjoys theme parks.
Is that what you
connoisseur? Connoisseur.
Yes.
Would you have lined up for 2 hours for that ride, which is just like this boat that
goes down.
It was like a birdcage on water.
On the water,
Yeah.
It was pretty shit.
Yeah, I have to say I wouldn't, but I have witnessed lines for equally as shit rides that have been that length. Like, people line up for anything in a theme park. So I actually found that was quite realistic.
And okay, well, what about the fact that his daughter, like, supposedly saved the day by mortgaging their house to buy the newspaper when it's like, clearly a dead media, and she's just like financially ruined the entire family.
The whole family's fucked. And how the hell is the mum going to earn a wage as a nurse when every second day she's a six-year-old girl?
Or a llama.
Stoner teenager. Like, she's going to cause deaths at that hospital.
I think the answer to a lot of these questions is God obviously hates this family.
Yes. Did you like the disclaimer at the end that none of the kids or the llama smoked during the shoot, and the director quit smoking as well?
Well, it was a relief. That was my main concern. this is something I always think of. It's like when parents get their kids involved in being like child actors and like willing to put them in like roles like this, I just don't know if I would be willing, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Yeah.
Like, and you know how, especially with babies, not that there were any in this movie, but with babies, like often they need babies to cry in movies, and how they do that is like they make the mum leave the room, and like so the baby's like actually uncomfortable,
distressed,
and in
yeah.
distress. Yeah, no one's doing that to my kid.
Yeah,
but how much money?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it actually reminded me a bit of the rehearsal. If have you watched any of the rehearsal, Lucy?
No.
That it's a
is TV, that the Nathan thing?
Nathan Fielder, yeah.
And it very much deals with the complexities of child actors and the really? Effects that they can it can have on their lives outside of the shoot.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see it all the time that, you know, putting these kids in these situations isn't that great. Mm. But, like, she did do a fantastic job, though.
Yeah.
Like, here's hoping she's completely, you know, normal now and she's enjoying the money she got from this film.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's doing what she loves.
I wonder, she's got to be, like, has been in things before or things since. Like, she was very
She did do it. Like, because she is
actress.
In a lead role, basically. Like,
yeah, completely.
Playing a mother for most yeah. of the film.
Yeah.
Well, according to IMDb, this is the third thing she's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a TV series called The Bonfire of Destiny. And she was in a film last year called Stuck Together and has no other credits. So
Stuck Together sounds like another swap.
Swap film, yeah.
It's a Netflix movie. When Paris goes into lockdown during the pandemic, the quirky residents of an apartment building must adjust to a new life and one another.
In different bodies.
If only. Yeah,
whole apartment block gets swapped.
During the pandemic.
25 people swap. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
I'm going to sing it in French.
Ooh.
No, I don't know. Okay.
Do you want me to put our lyrics through the Google Translate and see what comes out?
Je t'aime.
Oh, je t'aime. Oui, je t'aime. Je t'aime.
All right, do it.
Do you know the song I was singing just
Yes.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime, yes. I had a playlist at work. That song came on. It just literally sounds like there's people fucking over
that
the speakers.
That is what the song is.
So it's just like this whole cafe full of people just hearing like,
je t'aime. It's like in really like breathy voices. Yeah.
Very breathy. No. Very breathy. No.
That's great, by the way.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Tell me if they're hot or not. Little spin? Wild. Little different?
No. Wow.
Okay. Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
So, Frank Dubosc as Elaine, the dad. Hot or not?
But is this pre or post makeover that he gets in the...
you can do both. You can give an overall. You can average it out if you'd like.
I mean, I can recognize that he's a handsome man.
We can do all three. We can do depressed dad, 7-year-old girl, daughter dressing him like he's in the
young.
I don't know, the 80s.
I know. I didn't like the outfit of the makeover, for that's for sure.
Yeah, just like... Yeah, acid wash denim, top to bottom,
yeah.
With like fluoro shirt. Yeah, very I don't know, George Michael, it looked like.
And also, like, the depressed dad, super, like, depressing guy. So he gets some... Well, I mean, I feel bad. Like, depression's for real serious issue. But he was also just kind of like a lazy dad, you know, like there was stuff.
He was a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
So I've just Googled what he looked like when he was like in his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, and I bet total
dreamboat.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And he did have beautiful eyes.
Yeah. And even like his grey hair was very, he was appealing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's got the whole French thing going for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a hot.
He's very fluid with his sexuality.
Yeah. I appreciated that. he was down to fuck whatever.
We're all in with a chance.
Yeah. Alexandra Lamy.
Hey, I didn't get to say, just in case he's listening. No to, like...
So you're going to give him a nod?
Yeah, Santa Claus is getting a pass from me. There you go.
But is pass good or bad?
No.
What?
You're giving him a nod.
Is it good or bad? No.
You don't think Santa's hot? He's so generous.
Actually, the way he's standing, I've got like a still shot of him at the end with his arms folded. And
why do you have stills of him?
He's put him up on his wall.
I was just gonna say, like, he looks he's got a bit of a Guy Pearce vibe if he was like a hobo.
Yeah. I kind of see it, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next thing. Alexandra Lamy as Sophie, as the mum.
So, the actual mum actress.
Yes.
Yeah, she was very pretty.
Yeah, I think she was a stunner.
They really, like, a majority of the film, she was being the dad, so she was dressed in man's clothes and they really, like, didn't give her any makeup or anything like that. But you could tell in at the start, and yeah, she was a pretty lady.
I rated her.
And Brendan? She's a nurse. That's, like, another, you know.
Sexy trope.
Sexy trope. French nurse. Ooh la la.
And we appreciate and respect our healthcare workers on the Swapcast podcast.
Yes.
Appreciate all
what I Brendan just said was very respectful.
Ooh la la. Okay, so Christiane Millet as Mammy, the grandmother.
I mean, I also think she looked pretty. She was keeping it tight.
Yeah, I think she had definite gilf energy.
Yeah,
for sure.
She had some confidence in this film.
She could sink a bong very convincingly.
And how she was the son, there was nothing there. But yeah.
And, like, you know, those titties.
How old do you think she actually was?
Like, in real life?
Yeah.
I can tell you. She was 67 when she made this movie.
Yeah, okay. So she looked amazing.
No, I think she's a definite gilf. I'm giving her a hot.
Brendan?
Let's move on.
Ageism at its finest.
So... Ooh, this guy must be musical artist or something, but he's only got one name in real life, which is Artus, and he played Christoph, the man she was having an affair with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I just expected you were talking about, like, a one name artiste, from France. I was expecting it to be the son, like,
okay. So it was a little bit like that he was the affair. It was a little bit like him. You know, Arrested Development, her.
Yeah
She's really funny. But, like, I could recognize, like, he was a handsome guy. But I, you know, it was just a weird choice for that, the for guy to have, like, an affair with.
Yeah.
There is definitely a market for that man. Like
he had some tattoos and stuff, right? Like he had his thing going on. I get the artist appeal. It just was an interesting choice.
Yeah, but he was a little nice. You know what I mean? He didn't really have an edge besides, I guess, having the affair.
Yeah. Yeah, despite willingly wanting to destroy a family.
I love as well in the subtitles, did they call them sex friends?
Yeah.
Sex we'll just buddies. Go back to being sex friends. I'm like, I feel like there's something lost in translation here.
They have a word for it in French.
A certain je ne sais quoi. Yeah.
It's funny, when I had my monkeypox vaccine, you have to like fill out a survey and they ask you like all the things that you get up to, kind of thing. And like, and one of them is like, do you have a regular fuck buddy? Like they actually, in a medical form, they use said the word that. Fuck buddy. Yeah.
Fuck buddy, really?
Yeah.
So do they give it to straight people?
Probably not.
Do they give it to like grandmas? Do you have a regular fuck buddy?
You should put that, you should fill it out and make it like the top of your like Grindr profile.
What?
That list.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. Conversation starter.
So definitely the hottest person in this film, in my opinion, Gil Almer, who played Gillies, who was like the lawyer that was in the communal showers.
A very minor character that Paul has to bring up so he could talk about how hot he thought he was.
Exactly. Hover, hover. Did you find him attractive, Lucy?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Yeah, he was so fucking hot.
Is he surpassing keyboard guy?
I mean, he'd be up there.
I can't even remember what movie was keyboard guy from. Beak?
Vice versa.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is keyboard guy, isn't he? Yeah. Okay. Vice versa. Yeah. I remember now.
Yeah. He had a shit tattoo, but other than that, he was pretty fucking hot.
I can't remember the tattoo.
He had like this little thing on his spine. It wasn't very good.
Okay.
But yeah. Brendan, did you think he was hot stuff?
I'm looking at a picture of him right now. And yeah, I guess so. He'll get fine. He's fine.
I was very surprised that the film did not pull a boner joke in that scene. That's what I was waiting for.
For like the daughter to get an erection looking at him in the shower. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I don't know if I respected the restraint of the film. It was very unexpected.
I was grateful for it.
All right, let's finish off with some friend or foes. So Mathilde Rochrich as Valentine, the 17-year-old daughter.
I'm very scared of teenage girls. She was a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, and she was like constantly mentioning this gymnastics tournament she won at like 12 years old as like the highlight of her entire life.
Yeah.
And we find out actually the like impetus of how she became such a horrible person.
Yeah.
Cause it's like this trophy is like the symbol of her confidence. And it seems that her like overconfidence sort of is what makes her like really
a terrible person.
Yeah. A really annoying person. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would give her a faux at the beginning, but I think she did some good character work. So I think by the end, she brought around, she became a better person.
I guess and that's I would true, give her isn't a friend. It? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of like when she finds out that her father bought her the first place trophy, rather than, you know, sort of taking that as like, you know, something to make her more bitter, it was like a catalyst for her to be like, oh, I am stronger than I think I am. Like, I don't need that trophy. So, yeah, I agree.
Cool. Nils Othinen Girard.
This is bad. As,
yeah. I'm sure I destroyed that.
Girard. Like Girard. Yeah.
Well, it's G-I-R-A-R-D.
Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah. As Leo, the son.
Okay, so I like was friends with 100 of that guy in high school. That was like all the guys I went to high school with, basically, and they're all nightmares. So,
yeah.
But like, who is he besides being a stoner? Like,
he's a boy that wants to prostitute his family members out. To
yeah,
his
okay,
friends.
So yeah, completely. He was not a great guy.
I
had foe him as well. Yeah.
Yeah, he literally
gave
his grandmother.
Yeah,
he gave his grandmother a heart attack.
Yes, true.
By excessively smoking drugs in her body.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna give him a foe. And finally, Rose D. Kerr Van Niolel. Why does everyone have awful names in this movie? As Chacha, the young daughter.
And also, what's Chacha? Is that her name?
Yeah.
What?
It must be a French thing. I think she would be a hoot and a half to hang around with.
Mm.
Like, really?
This swearing child. I did like the moment at the beginning where they waited in line for the ride for 2 hours and then she decided she didn't want to go on it because she had to go to the toilet and they lost their place in the line. Like, if I was the parent, I would want to disown that child. And I have been in Disneyland and seen that exact thing happen. And I felt so sorry.
I mean,
it
just seems insane because children, like, can't hold on for 2 hours. And this is how long you have to wait for a ride. Like, they need a better system or they need, like, bathroom passes or something. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Or they need to just kick all the kids out of Disneyland, so it's just
so
for
Paul
adults.
Can just swan about at his own leisure. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. The way she handled, like, her birthday, like,
she's, like, 6 years old and had her birthday ripped from her. That's
I think she was old enough to be able to understand the gravity of the situation.
I feel like you're just putting
agree.
That on her because that actress played such a mature character, but that wasn't actually the kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she could play that mature of a character because she was old enough to understand acting. So I think she's old enough to understand that, you know.
Okay, Grandpa, whatever.
No, I'm going to give her a foe.
Oh, you're giving her a foe?
Yeah, I think she'd be annoying to be around.
Okay. I thought you said she was a hoot and a
yeah,
half.
Yeah, I think you really switched, had a real 180 there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Disneyland thing, isn't it? You are punishing her for that.
Yes. I thought about it and I've decided to follow her.
I would be her friend. She would have got me in so much trouble for swearing.
And stealing.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. We're a little klepto.
It's her fault.
Swearing.
Everything is her fault, by the way.
Everything is her fault. Yeah. Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Family Swap from across the interwebs. So most of the reviews were in other languages, but I did manage to find some in English. So the first one's from Leo on Letterboxd, and he gives it 3 stars, and he says, "We love Llama."
Cool.
Wait, that was the whole thing?
Yeah.
There was a llama in this film, just so people are aware.
Do llamas spit? That's unfortunate. Yes.
Hilary Duff has a pet llama.
This is why all your llama-based knowledge comes from, that. Yeah.
Yes. I wish, like, you know, she'd ring me sometimes and just talk about a llama. That'd be fun. This one's from Matthew Johnson on Letterboxd. He gives it 2.5 stars and he says, "I was on a plane writing a midterm about bad movies. This was actually too good to be inspirational."
Ooh.
So a somewhat positive review.
Yeah, I will say it was a good film. It wasn't horrible like a lot of the things we watched.
Thanks, Paul.
No worries. Anytime. So this is a first. I'm reading one of our listeners' reviews that's on Letterboxd.
This film?
Yeah. So Ashley, our number one listener, Ashley. We all love Ashley on this podcast. She gave it 3.5 stars when she watched it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I think this is the first body swap film I've ever watched where they never swap back, and that alone deserves an extra 0.5 star. So Yeah, I think we're on agreement with you, Ashley. Like, I appreciated that about the movie. And finally, we have one from St. Paulie on Letterboxd. He gives it 2 stars. And he says, as funny as a pubic hair on a bar of soap, still not fed up with body switching slapstick? Here's one where the whole family swaps personalities. But don't worry, because it's French, they didn't forget the extramarital affair storyline. Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started. My connection is France. Obviously, this is a French movie. So I'm recommending a film where France is a major part of the plot. And that's a new film that just came out. It came out on Hulu in America and Disney Plus in Australia. And it's called Not Okay. Have either of you guys seen this yet?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
So I think especially you, Lucy, would love this film. Mm-hmm. It stars Zooey Deutch and Dylan O'Brien. And it's about a girl. She works at like a BuzzFeed kind of company called Depravity, mm-hmm. making like listicles kind of thing. She decides to get some like Insta cred to pretend that she's gone to a writer's retreat in Paris. Mm-hmm. So she makes a whole bunch of like fake Instagram posts, photoshopping herself in front of the Arc de Triomphe,
yeah,
all this stuff, and then posts all the stuff, goes to bed, and while she's asleep, there's a terrorist attack on Paris.
Ooh.
In all the places that she just said she was. So then she pretends that she's a survivor of the terrorist attack. Becomes friends with this activist that actually survived a school shooting, and it just like escalates from there.
Sounds very stressful.
It's stressful, but very funny, very relevant to our social media obsessed society.
And
that
also,
we're
didn't
in.
We talk about some?
Last episode we were talking about
a
couple of actors. Yeah,
he was in 9/11.
Yeah, and it was Brian Williams, the actress from Girls. Her dad pretended that he was in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but then you said there was some other actor who pretended he was in 9/11.
Yeah, there was a comedian that pretended he was in the towers when they got hit.
Yes, Steve Ranadisky.
Yeah,
explains why he lied about 9/11.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm just reading.
Yeah. this film is actually very good. Funny and really like well directed. Like, just a really like cool, current kind of vibe to it. And Zooey Deutch is fantastic in the main role. And there's a newcomer, Mia Isaac, who plays the school shooting survivor. And she is like phenomenal in this film as well. Like,
sounds
she's
like
going to be
cool.
huge.
Sounds like a cool concept.
Yeah. I would definitely like, especially for you, Lucy, I think you would love it. I think Brendan,
Well, you keep saying, like, lucid. I'm like, this sounds really funny and interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is
lucid
it not for me?
I think you'll like it as well, Brendan. But why
would Lucy like it more than me?
I think because it makes specific, like, call-outs to pop culture a lot.
And
like,
I won't know whatever they're talking
about. Yeah, like, there's definitely a character that's, like, a Pete Davidson stand-in that I think Lucy would really like connect with.
I know who that is.
Yeah,
he's dating someone famous right now.
They split up, so you know nothing, my friend.
Perfect. The film's
swing
called
and a miss.
The film's called Not Okay, and if you're in America, it's Hulu. If you're in Australia or anywhere else, Disney Plus. Give it a go.
Cool.
Lucy.
So I'm not going to rock anyone's world, and I was sure that I had done this before, but I looked through the list quickly and I don't think I have. But I'm doing Amelie.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Surprised you haven't done that.
Because
I haven't seen it in forever. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Cause it's on SBS all the time. It's the sort of thing if you flick at the TV, it's sometimes on. And I'm picking it because it has beautiful French narration. And I just, I used to say that Amelie was my favorite movie. And I know that that's very twee and whatever, but
yeah.
I just loved it, when it came out. And I still do. I stand by it. And I love the narration. I love the way you meet the characters and they sort of tell you a weird secret about them. Or I really like, you know, even the cat, it introduces the cat and it tells you the cat's likes and dislikes and just things like that. I just thought the narration, you know, I wrote down a note about how the French narration made it have all this gravitas. And then I was like, oh, Amelie, I loved that narration. So I'm doing Amelie.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't watched it since it came out, but I do remember really enjoying it.
Yeah,
so.
It's a sweet movie.
Brendan?
Is Worst Person in the World French?
No.
it's like Norwegian or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just slipped that one in there. I'm going to do a movie called... I'm still looking.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to do a film called Worm. There's a film called Worm, and it's got a family in it, just like this film's got a family in it, and it's dysfunctional. So that's my connection.
Yeah. Is this W-Y... R-M?
Yes, like the dragon, W-Y-R-M.
Yeah.
So, the film is, it's like a short film that got adapted into a full feature. Mm-hmm. It's very quirky. It's set in an alternative 1990s, in which the like students are given these like neck braces that have a little electronic collar and it doesn't come off until you have your first kiss. And so our sort of protagonist still hasn't had his first kiss. So he's like one of the last kids to still be wearing that collar. And
oh my God, sort of being a teenager is so fucking shit already. That's the cruelest thing I've ever heard.
But it's very funny. It's like the whole reason behind it is because they want people to grow up to be healthy, like normal people. And like, you know, serial killers didn't have their first kiss until blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, it shows that you're someone who's like socially not awkward. And anyway, it's quite funny how they like sort of, employ it. Mm. But, it was a really heartwarming film. It feels very indie, in that classic way. But it's a fun story. It's really unique, and I'm assuming it won't get seen by a lot of people, but I recommend it. It was a good time.
Cool.
Nice. All right. So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every Body Swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we going to put Family Swap on our lists? All right. I'm going to put it in between 17 Again and Life is Easy. Like, I had a really good time with this film. So
you did. I'm putting it between Vice Versa and Here Comes the Bride.
Nice.
I'm putting it in between Down to Earth and Brother Bear. So I put it, it's pretty high up there.
Better than Phil Collins.
Brother Bear wasn't very good.
All right, well... I hate to hear that you didn't appreciate our last bear swap, because we're doing another one next week.
Another bear swap?
Yes, but...
Like literal bear or like...
Two gay guys?
Yeah. No, like an actual bear.
A bear and a twink swap? Oh my God, write that movie. That's very funny.
Okay, good idea. But unfortunately, Lucy won't be joining us for that one. She's got a very busy couple of weeks ahead. So Brod from the Hunting Seasons podcast will be stepping in her place for next week.
Thanks, guys. Sorry.
No worries. Where we'll be reviewing the 2012 Pixar film Brave, featuring the voices of Kelly MacDonald, Billy Connolly, and Emma Thompson, where, determined to make her own path in life, Princess Merida defies a custom that brings chaos to a kingdom. Granted one wish, Merida must rely on her bravery and her archery skills to undo a beastly curse.
The irony is I've never seen this movie and I think I'd probably really like it.
Love to see it, yeah.
Stupid moving house and selling house.
Yeah, well, if you find a spare 2 hours, you're still welcome to jump in if you can. But, should be a fun one.
Have fun, guys.
Brod, our resident Pixar expert, always has a lot to say. Mm. He's joined us for our Soul and our Turning Red episode. So,
I am a very big expert on. I was trying to think of something.
Nothing.
I'm so tired.
Ska music.
There you go. That's your thing.
No. Of Celtic history, so I'll be very never mind.
I've actually been to Scotland, so roasted.
You would have been able to bring so much knowledge to this episode,
yeah,
Lucy.
It really is the best place.
I have an expert on Disney princesses. Is that what this is?
I don't believe you.
Do you want me to quiz you on Disney princesses right now?
Go ahead.
Do it.
Belle.
Damn it. He's got me. I met Belle at my last Disneyland trip.
The real Belle.
The real Belle. She was in Epcot.
How old was she? Was she a queen now?
No, she was still a princess for some reason. and she was dead behind the eyes.
That's a shame.
It was a very awkward interaction. All right. So,
what a way to end the podcast.
I can't believe you did. I'm not going to ask him one Disney related question. That's disappointing.
Okay.
Yeah, really try to stump me because it'll be really hard.
Okay. What is the name of the princess in Princess and the Frog?
I don't know that either.
Tony.
You're fucked.
Tony.
You're actually close, though. It's Tiana.
So, wow. Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't. But anyway, until next time, don't be a piece of the shit. Sorry.
Piece of the shit.
The shit.
Please don't be a piece of the shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was dehydrated poo worm.
Because you didn't know about Princess Tiani.
Tiana.
Tony.
Princess Tony. All right.
Bye.
That movie I would watch. Bye. I'm delirious.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.